Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Greetings to everybody who's tuning in. This is the Creative Cosmos radio show. Welcome to the show. We are going to have some special guests tonight, some live music, and all is well this evening. And I'd like you to come on over and check out the Creative Cosmos website tonight. CreativeCosmos.org. I'll give it to you again. CreativeCosmos.org. www.CreativeCosmos.org. And as you might notice, I've been doing a few updates here and there on the site. As always, I rotate through new articles. I try to do a couple every week. Sometimes it's been one a week and due to my increased workload, but that's alright, as it should be. And I also have another website and another radio show, and I've done a lot of work on the other website, TranscendenceWorldMovement.com. So check that out too. I set up a really nice forum there, and I hope we can use that website to develop some of the ideas that go with the transcendence. A kind of new renaissance that's emerging across the world. And if you're at the creativecosmos.org website, go check out some of the headlines under Early Gates Press. One of the first ones we have this evening is called Voyager 2 Detects Solar System's Edge. So I'd like to wish Voyager 2 Godspeed on behalf of Creative Cosmos and all the friends of the Creative Cosmos. I remember as a young boy writing NASA and just writing them. I really enjoyed space. You know, I always loved space when I was a kid. And at a very early age, I knew all the constellations and we would watch the planets and the stars, and every once in a while when I'd catch a constellation at the right moment, I would also feel like transported through time and space. I didn't realize it at the time, but now I know that I was tapping into past life moments of where the mood was just so, and the constellation, and seeing the constellation.
I am so sorry you're still not out in the air. Can you do it all over?
Hey, what's up, Beth?
You know something, I just wanted to let you know, Chris, that your listening base is so, so loyal that you didn't lose a single one.
Oh, that's cool.
So, just love you, man.
All right, am I on, or was I on, or where am I at?
Yes, you're on. I'm just
okay.
I just want to give you another heart attack.
All right, man.
I just wanted to pull your buttons.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody out there, and know that I care about you a lot, you listeners, and all you who write me and let me know what's going on with your lives and what's going on with your awakening process. And I've heard from people all over the world, and yes, this is worldwide tonight, not just live over the moment, but our archives. We're creating a type of encyclopedia of awareness at BBS Radio, because archives don't go anywhere. They just keep building up. They just keep building up for you to check out anytime you want. You know, download the files, and you know, you don't have to watch the TV and all the noise and all the craziness. You can chill out and listen to good awareness radio, for, you know, when the shows are off, the music is great too. You know, I've said before on the show that I've listened to so much music, all the classics and a lot of jazz and a lot of pop, and, you know, we've all heard the tunes from the 60s, you know, they're great. We love them, you know, but we have definitely heard them before, and it's great to hear the new, you know, and there's always new things, and people have new things to say. And so, yeah, everything's great. Going back to the story about Voyager 2, detecting the solar system's edge, boy, that's a great achievement. And like what I was saying, you know, when I wrote NASA when I was younger, that they sent me a whole bunch of pictures that Voyager had taken, and they just opened my heart. I was just in awe. And somewhere along the line, I'll mention again here that I had a telescope, and, you know, my parents had bought me a telescope for Christmas, and I would go outside and look at the stars and look at the moon, and I couldn't believe what the moon looks like through a telescope. You know, those of you parents out there tuning in, you know, that what a great thing to show a child, to share with your child, and to instill that cosmic perspective early on, you know, because remembering that we're on a planet in outer space just cruising around changes how you live your life. You know, I was talking with somebody on the phone today, and I was just talking about how the whole trick is just to keep a remembering, to bring it into the front of your mind, just really what's happening here, you know, and how twisted it gets sometimes in people's heads. They think reality, to them, reality is this really limited world with all these rigid rules and certain ways, but they don't realize that the real reality is not like that, that they've superimposed a reality of their mind that then constricts their perception of the glorious reality that's ever-changing, always evolving and expanding and growing and coming forth with new things. And that's the beauty, you know, that's the beauty of hearing, you know, what we're doing on BBS is we're riding the wave of creativity that's been unleashed in the information age. You know, just think, now we all, like us musicians, we have computers and mics and materials at home, good enough to put form and into our work and make it into a very nice presentation that we can then just instantly send out and share with everybody. It's just unbelievable what's happening now. It's just a great time to be alive. It's great to be a part of this creative wave that is being unleashed, and to share that with all of you, the listeners, because even if you're listening to this show, you're doing something for the earth. You're taking the time to care. You're reflecting upon yourself. You wouldn't be listening to me speaking if you weren't of the mindset of reflecting upon yourself and opening up to see your own potential. I often talk about releasing the soul or bringing the soul into the body and making room for that inside. And tonight's show, we're going to be getting into a lot of these ideas as well, how to make room for your true self and how to live that in your life. So, yeah, back to the Voyager. Have a good trip, Voyager. You never know. Maybe we'll see some other pictures someday from Voyager when we leave the solar system and pick it up and see what it did and what it continues to do. Another really good article called The Earthly Journey to 5D. Again, we're on creativecosmos.org going through some of the headlines on Pearly Gates Press. And it's called Earthly Journey to the Fifth Dimension, and it's by Indian in the Machine, a good friend, Dieter Braun, of spiritfindermusic.com. And he always comes up with some interesting artwork and expressions and good words. He's really been creating a lot lately, so check it out on the site or cruise over to his site. Check out his articles, or either post them over at Snowdle, snowdle.punt.nl. And he's really been cranking it out lately, a lot of good stuff, so check it out. Good article. And my last article before the one that's currently posted is on there too. Open your heart now, and all is well. So there you have it. We got the show underway. Also, interesting on the site too, creativecosmos.org, I just remember this, did some work too on this site to put up a bunch of my tunes. I realized that I've been putting up some tunes on Creative Cosmos Song of the Week. I hope that you listeners out there found that. I work in some of my tunes, some of my old ones, some of my new ones, tunes of friends and tunes of people who are new friends that have sent me their music. So cruise there too, Creative Cosmos Song of the Week. But, you know, I realize I have all these tunes and that we've been playing them on BBS, and it's great. It's just great to hear your music being played on air. And if you're a musician out there, we're always looking for new music as well. So send it in to Douglas or myself, and we'll check it out. And we love to give new music a chance. So if you're listening and you've got some tracks, why not share them with us? You never know. We might play them and we'll become friends. And anyway, you can join in the creative expression and sharing of the truth of your heart. We welcome and appreciate creativecosmos.org and bbsradio.com. All right, that's a big long spiel to open up there. If you're out there listening and you'd like to call in, give me a call toll free, 877-876-5227. And yeah, I mean it, just join in, you know, call up, let me know what's going on. I've been telling some people too, just in conversation, just how I see this part of the show expanding, more callers, more interaction with myself, because all of what you've been hearing and enjoying, I can go even further when I get prompted by good questions, questions about the universe, questions about your own meditative process, questions just about life, or how to place some of the things you're seeing, of your struggling. You know, it's kind of, Zen is almost an expansion of psychology. It takes psychology into consideration, and it also establishes that center of awareness in yourself, where your soul lies. So we help you to get in touch with your soul, and then your worldly life becomes illuminated when connected to that source of inspiration. And that's part of what we want to do here. Share all the tools that we have. Alright, well, it's a good time to play a song tonight. Thinking about the show tonight, I thought it would be a good opportunity. You see, I take things in life, I try to not look at things as problems. I try to look at things, when things occur, I accept that the universe has brought it to be in that way, and then I try to use it creatively. Like, for instance, tonight, I knew Doug was working the show, and, you know, Don and I have a good sync with switching in the tunes, and wanted Doug to be able to just kick back, enjoy the tune, you know, catch up on a little work. And also, I thought I could make it into a really special occasion where I perform some tunes live. And also, very special to me, and I hope you really stay tuned to hear this, Amy Butson is going to play some Beethoven for us, both at the top of the hour and as we leave the show this evening. And I really hope you enjoy that. As you know, I love Beethoven. I like to bring Beethoven up a lot. And it was fun picking out the tunes for you today and getting them ready for you. So I hope you stick around for that. The first tune I'm going to play for you tonight is the tune, one of my earlier tunes. It's been around for a while. I'm going to turn the other mic up if you notice ambiance here. Yeah, it's a dreamy tune that a friend of mine reminded me of an email today. He wrote me an email today. Maybe he's listening if he's out there. Thanks for the email, buddy. He wrote me an email. He wrote me an email today and said he was listening to this tune, and you know, I said, why not? Let's play the tune for the audience tonight. Here we go. It's called An Epic Dream. Ooh, let me find the tune here. Here we go. Ready? People wanna laugh, and children hope to sing, longing just to be okay, with life unfolding every day as you are, shining star, over roots into your heart. Follow all your dreams in a world that's swinging round and round, a cosmic game of lost and found over you. See it through.
Forget about some of them, you know, some of them just kind of hang in the background for a while, and
that's why when people remind me of them, I find it a good time to bring it forward. The show's been a good chance to kind of rework some of my tunes and bring them out and share them in the present.
Yeah. So, what should we talk about? What would you like to know?
Well, I know that I explained a little bit earlier about the transition that some people know that I'm moving out to California to work with Don and Doug, and that I've been teaching a lot and coming around in that often. I'd like to highlight the fact that, you know, you're going to be working with us out there as well, staying with us and part of what we're doing, and also, yeah, kind of fill everybody in on what's going on with your life. You're kind of reaching the end of a long period of community service in my regard.
Yeah, I am. You know, I just wrote an email to a friend of mine today from school, a friend and mentor of mine, who had kind of got me started with teaching, and when I was writing her, I realized that I, you know, I'm at a crossroads really in my life, and I've dedicated a huge portion of my life to teaching, to, you know, going to school for teaching, and then teaching for 7 years it's been, and now coming to the end of that, and I've been spending a lot of time reflecting on that and the transition, and yeah, I have a lot going on, because besides teaching, having the creative cosmos and exploring other realms and aspects of myself has kind of been part of that transition, you know, from teaching to something else, you know.
Yeah.
Part of which will be, you know, BBS Radio, you know, but another part really is just going out to California to explore who I am and find out what it is I want to do and dedicate myself to. I mean, teaching has been good. It's
how long has it been? Like 7 years?
7 years.
Teaching high school at the same place?
Yes, it has. Mm. It's, you know, with reflecting on it, I have to say it's a tough field, and but it's got a lot of rewards to it, and you know, I was kind of summing up the end of my year with this end of the year project, and when you were talking about, you know, new music, you know, hearing all the old stuff and then also trying to take in the new, well, that kind of is what this end of the year project I'm doing is about. I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Alright.
I'm having my students compose a song or write a song, and so what I did is I shared with them a Bob Dylan video, who is an amazing songwriter, and played some other tunes for them and talked to them about writing songs or about writing lyrics, and asked them to write something, you know, with social commentary or political commentary or something that tells a story. So I'm really curious. I also played some Jason Foss for them. Jason was on your show a number of weeks ago, folk singer, songwriter.
Yeah.
Talked about different songwriting techniques. So it'll be really interesting to see what they come up with, and kind of as a, you know, a culmination of my teaching career, you know, just what did I get across to them? How much of it stuck with them enough that it'll come across in their own music?
Yeah.
Should be interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and there's so much of, you know, as a teacher, you plant so many seeds that may not even come to full fruition for many years. You know, the kids could be still benefiting from your work for many years to come, and what you've tried to teach them, and creating an oasis of friendship and area where they can open up a little bit in a school system, which sometimes gets a little on the old oppressive side there.
Yeah, I think one of the tough parts of it is that I'm in a public school environment, and there are a lot of things that I would teach the kids, but you know, you can't really do that.
It's just natural that you start moving on, you know, that you're waking up to new aspects of yourself and new interests, and like you say, you're ready to just explore, and why don't we've talked about this transition on the show a lot, and I think a lot of people are going through it, and we'll talk about it with PGA Golf Pro Pete Van Vliet in a little while here, just about how you, see how the past has shaped your life, and maybe some of the choices in the past weren't really your own because they were still influenced by circumstance, and how you then have to make your life your own, essentially.
Definitely. I mean, just realizing the fact that I wanted to make a transition. I mean, that alone was quite something, you know. Really looking at my life and really going back and digging deep and finding where that first seed of, oh, I want to be a teacher, and that actually was way back in sixth grade. And if you think about it, you know, in sixth grade, you really don't know what you want to do.
No, not at all. Nor should you be expected to know that.
Yeah.
You know, I think kids are pressured way too early to come up with that. And, you know, I mean, it takes a while for a kid to learn that. And, you know, some kids are not going to know it. Some kids will learn it pretty early. They'll find what they enjoy and keep doing it. But some may take much longer to explore, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, and I think I expressed an interest in teaching, and then I just sort of was kind of filtered along and was kind of pushed in that direction. And, you know, I really didn't resist too much, and I just kind of went with it and somehow ended up going into education. And lucky for me, I ended up going into music education because music is something that I really love, and certainly there's a lot of flexibility in teaching music, and that kind of has been what saved me, is that I've always had that as part of me and the part of me that I get to share with my students. But, you know, at the same time, you know, with reflecting on the transition and really thinking about it and looking at my, you know, past habits and how did I kind of get into teaching, and then really trying to open up to, you know, yes, what parts of me is it fulfilling, but also what parts of me aren't being fulfilled, and trying to rediscover those and get back in touch with those, and trying to find ways to open myself up to that, while at the same time, you know, being able to maintain everything in the present, which was tricky at times.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort through as you begin reflecting, but you brought up some good questions, you know, those things that you're saying you were considering. You know, I wonder who amongst the listeners out there have considered some of those same things. And when you speak of that part of yourself which is kind of looking for something else or remaining to be fulfilled, that part doesn't go away. That call doesn't go away. And, you know, you can justify making do with your life as it is, Till the end of time, till the end of your life. You know, there's always a justification for staying put or for not making the leap into life. You know, that's precisely the obstacle. His mind always justifies complacency. You know, but those parts of yourself that remain to be fulfilled, they don't go away.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it really does have an effect on a person. I know it's affected my life, and, you know, I you may have to have me back on, you know, over time and kind of see where I go, you know, because when I look at things, you know, I really do feel like I'm some kind of a leader, which is why I ended up in teaching, and I do enjoy being in front of the class and sharing with them what I have to share, you know, but at the same time, you know, being in a public school, I certainly do feel, you know, like I'm being kept in a box that I constantly want to climb outside of, and, you know, and so...
Yeah, you and the kids both.
It's true. It is definitely true. Although the nice thing about my classroom is that there is a door in the back, and on these really nice summer days, we do sneak out and sit out in the grass.
Yeah, it's always good to step outside.
Yeah, but you know, I'm also discovering, you know, with teaching, you know, I got involved in the theater program, and I discovered I have a love of theater, which, you know, doesn't surprise me because I've always been overly dramatic about things. I know, And, you know, and it's been in my music too, but so I think there's some interest there.
Yeah.
I used to be a pretty decent artist. I used to love to paint and draw, and so I'd like to explore that. I used to be, you know, really into fitness and physical activity, and I actually ran a half marathon a number of years ago. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily think I'd like to be a runner again, but, you know, I've been thinking about something with martial arts where I'm, you know, physical discipline along with training the mind. So, you know, there's a lot of things for me to explore, and I don't know where it's going. I don't know how that translates to a job, but I'm at this point where I'm going to take the leap.
Yeah.
See what happens.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks. Good. And, that's what you got to do. You got to act.
Yeah. You know, it does take courage because in the back of my head, you know, I have all these voices saying, you have to have a job. You have to have income. You have to pay the bills. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it's been tricky to overcome that and to still feel like I can live and be okay, but take care of myself.
Well, it's amazing, you know, every time you're going to make a choice that isn't the easy one, you always hear pretty much what you described, you know, a bunch of people that are going to try to throw obstacles in your path, you know, can bring up the concerns or bring up all of what could go wrong, and, you know, but you create the reality you want, and you got to live life on the fast track. You got to go for it, and there's no substitute for living what you're meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not going to live, why be alive?
Exactly. As you were saying that, you know, how you hear those voices in your head, and I was just imagining the outer crowd that all these voices are, and I almost reflected back to, like, Greek tragedy in the chorus, you know, the main star might be like, "Would I like to live my own life?" And then the chorus would be like, "What your things could go wrong? What your things? What I need to live? I need to fly free. What your things could go wrong?" Yeah, you just gotta learn, to you just can't give energy to those thoughts. It's all your attention, you know. It is tough sometimes. And the thing about those voices, they put up a good argument sometimes. They try to prove to you that they're right. The same justification that people lock themselves in, they try to lock other people in with as well.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that really is, at least for me, that was the first and the biggest obstacle. And, you know, it's definitely gotten better. But, if you can overcome that, if you can overcome those voices and just, you know, take a good look, that is a good start.
Yeah, just like where you were when you were starting, you were saying, you know, just how you were looking at it, you know, you're not sure where it's going to go, but you kind of see this and you see that. And that's part of the beauty, you know, you just described, like a life of endless opportunity, you know, you could do absolutely anything.
Yeah, it's, you know, really looking at it that way and saying, instead of saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to do for money. I don't know what's going to happen. How am I going to get a job? What field am I going to go into? I don't have a degree in that area. What should I do?
Yeah.
Instead of saying that, saying, I could do anything. You know, I have all these interests. I have all these things I'd like to do. I'd like to explore. I could do anything. And I get to do it in California.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And,
it is.
You can always hear when people are wishing us well, or they always sound excited, and part of them wishes they were going with us.
Yep. That's true.
Cool. Well, I'm going to take a moment here, and as you know, we're not clicking off tonight. We're going to perform the music live. So I'm at another point where I'd like to do a tune. We're going to bring on our friend and golfer, Pete Van Vliet, very soon here. And in honor of his arrival, I'm going to do a tune that I originally wrote for one of my cats. If you want to see my cats, cruise over to the website, creativecosmos.org, creativecosmos.org, and go to the bottom right-hand corner. There's a little picture of a cat there. and you can click on that. That's Inlands, in fact, the one who I originally wrote the song for. But in honor of our friend joining us tonight to discuss these matters with us, we're going to take a drink of water here. And I'm going to sing. I'm turning that mic off, so then this one's just going to be on. And I'm going to sing the tune called He's a Buddy. He's a buddy.
He's a friend. Like nobody till the end. He's the one who makes me smile. He's a friend. How can it be? That to be near you once again brings a light into the shade. He's a friend. Hang on, watching spring for spring, singing truth of me. Some, of course, for you. Tell the people living everywhere. A noble spirit always soaring free, uplifting you, uplifting all of me. Tell the people live without a care.
He's a friend.
He's a buddy.
He's a friend.
Like nobody
till the end.
He's the one who makes me smile
once again.
He's a buddy,
he's a friend.
Like nobody
till the end.
He's the one who makes me smile.
Be a friend.
Enjoyed that? He's a buddy. And here he is, the man of the hour, Mr. Pete Van Vliet, PGA Golf Pro, as of big tournament that he played in, a big qualifying match that he played in. How would you describe that, which you played a couple days ago?
Oh, I was, like, just too qualified to be in the PGA membership program as far as, like, being able to be an assistant pro or a head pro at a golf, any golf course, really.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Teaching, you know, just working the way up. It's the first step in a process of being an assistant or a head golf pro.
Yeah. And it was partly you had to shoot a pretty low score there to get that qualification, didn't you?
Correct, yeah. We had to play 36 holes in one day yesterday and shoot a target score of 154.
Yeah, which is a low score for those of you out there who, some of you know, probably know the game pretty well. But 36 holes of golf, that's a lot of golf in one day.
Yeah, it was a true test. I definitely just stayed in the moment and tried to take it one shot at a time. I definitely fell out of that at times, and when you look back on it a day later, you know, it's kind of fun to see that, you know, when you were in the moment and when you weren't.
Yeah, and probably when you were in the moment, things went smoothly.
Very smoothly.
Yeah. Well, you said you had a nice stretch, and there were 26 holes or something at 1-under or 2-under.
So you got 29 holes at 2-under.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So you must have been pretty in the moment for most of that.
I was, yeah. It was just, you know, like I said, when I look back at it a day later, you know, and then that one next hole kind of threw me off in a shot or two. But yeah, it takes a little time to get into the groove, and I was lucky to find it at the time I did. And not necessarily lucky. I just kind of knew it was going to happen in a way. Focus on the positive.
Yeah.
At all times, and just try and stay in the moment as much as possible.
Yeah, that's something you've been working on aside from your golf game as well, correct?
Correct, yeah. I think that golf really is, you can associate it to a lot of aspects of life when you're out there on the golf course by definitely just seeing demeanor in different individuals and
Yeah, it seems kind of like playing a musical instrument, too. How people play the game, golf, too, reflects their being.
Exactly. Their temperament. You can tell a lot by somebody on the golf course, for sure.
Yeah. And, when you're playing these tournaments, like 36 holes, you also had other people that were playing with you as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, it was interesting. You have to keep it... I found yesterday it was real easy to stay in my own game, and it was pretty easy because everybody's kind of focused on themselves. We weren't competing against one another. It was more of just for yourself. So it was an interesting type of challenge because you weren't competing against others. It was competing against yourself.
Yeah.
Which golf is a lot, you know, every time you play golf, it's when you're competing against yourself in a way. You're trying to constantly improve and learn from your mistakes, and that's one thing I feel like I've done in the past year, like you were saying, as far as outside of golf, just growing up and staying in the moment, is just trying to spread that into my life in all directions. And I feel like with the golf now, it really has, like, visualization pictures really stick now more than they used to, and just, you know, a thought would used to come in and go out, you know, in a couple weeks, and now it's really ingrained. And just focus on, you know, one or two types of aspects in a day. They change when you go out on the golf course, but I feel like that's something an individual can do during their normal life, is just focus on one or two things during the day to make themselves a better person.
Right, because there's not going to be any way you can suddenly turn on some magical whatnot when you're on the golf course.
Exactly.
If anything, it's only going to put you in the pressure cooker more,
mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that center established, you're just going to crack.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, really probably what, as you move up the ranks in the golf, that's really probably how they differentiate more than anything. A lot of people have the shots, but it's a question of who's got the steady mind and ability to consistently lay it out there again and again.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I thought it'd be cool to just talk about the game a little bit. You know, being a person who has achieved a PGA Pro status, you know, why don't you just give us your overview of the game? You know, why you like the game, what you think the game can do for people, and, yeah, just speak about what you love to do a little bit.
Well, I definitely love the game. I think it's a true test. One thing I feel like, for me personally, has been just I was lucky enough to follow my dreams, as we've been talking about, and just to stick with it, and just to know that, you know, it's part of who I am, and it's part of my future, and to use it as best I can to spread, you know, knowledge to others, and, you know, just use the gifts that the game has brought me to spread gifts to other people. And we all have our special talents and gifts, and it's a matter of just going after them and achieving them and not worrying about it if you don't. You know, the time will come when you want it to happen, it'll happen.
Yeah, it's really kind of like you said about, like you didn't really hesitate. It seemed like you believed in yourself and you believed in what you found inside, and I think that's part of the key there.
Exactly.
So what gave you that strength? You know, I know different people have a different... you know, abilities to call that forth. You know, what do you think it was in your life which helped you to stand behind what you knew to be true for yourself?
I think the biggest thing is probably patience and just believing. I think two biggest things that I can think of when I look back is that it happened now for the reason. I've always known that this is the next step of my future, but it's taken until now to happen, and I think it's happened that way for a reason, as I've had to learn other lessons along the way.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just, when I look back at it now, I'm just, you know, happy that I did learn a lot of those lessons and not jump into the position I'm in now, because I'm much more in the moment now, mature.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Ready to take it on, move forward stronger, rather than if you're young, and I mean not... Some people are younger and they can do it, but it just happens to certain people at certain times. And when it does, when it is your time, you have to grab it by the horns and
Yeah.
Right away.
I think that's a good point to highlight, and that goes like with what we were talking about with Amy just a little while ago, you know. You can't just stop in life, you know, the pathways in your life for the destiny that you're meant to live may be a long and winding road, you know, it may take many curves, it might take, you know, you might work in one area for a while, which will get you interested in this, which will help you meet some people over here, which will then lead to something else, and, you know, sometimes people think once they get in their 20s or whatever, like we mentioned earlier, you get a college degree and you get a job and you just feel like you gotta do it and you just get stuck there, you know, when your destiny might lie elsewhere. But one of the things they think is that they're old. You know, it sounds strange, but they think, you know, I'm 25 or I'm 30, it's too late for me. Or they speak of what they really wish they would have done, or talk about, you know, you can see it sometimes where someone will reveal to you the truth of their heart where they wish they would have truly done something, but then they act like they still can't for some reason, when there really is no limit in your age, you know, as long as you're alive and sharp, and you can discover and realize your dream.
Exactly, and just to, you know, believe that whenever it does happen, does that happen so you can learn those lessons along the way and never give up. I mean, then just never just give in to that way of life or that way of thinking as far as that's what the way it has to be. But,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you in a little story. Chris and I, the other day I got this postcard in the mail about a show at the Science Museum in Minnesota. It was called A Body World, and it's about physiology, human physiology. And, oh, sure. All right. Human physiology and it's called the plasticization process, where they took, you know, human bodies and they preserved them and so that people could come through, it's called Body World, and see the human body and how it's made up and check out, you know, the physiology. And I saw this postcard and I thought this was the coolest thing. That was my first reaction was, wow, this is so cool, we have to go see this.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some reason I think there was a time conflict or something that we couldn't go at the time on this postcard that we were invited for a free preview. And you know, and then we talked about, you know, possibly getting tickets and going and whatnot, and then I just kind of let it slide. And I kind of forgot about it, and weeks went by, and, you know, Chris came to me, and he's like, well, why haven't we gotten tickets yet? Why aren't we doing this? You know, like, and what it was is he pointed out to me that that was my soul calling out to me. That was my inner voice saying, hey, you're interested in this.
Yeah.
If this interests you, you should go do this. And it's so easy to let that slip away and to not hear that or to kind of push that voice under. You know, and it's really important that when that comes up, you know, that not to get caught up in, you know, what you're doing in your job and your career and this and that, but to leave space open to hear that voice. And
yeah.
So now we're going to get tickets and go on Monday.
Yeah.
So. that's my little story, but, you know, listening to your inner voice.
Yeah, it's an excellent, excellent point, you know, because I think that, you know, it is a matter of creating that space and paying attention, you know. And once you get into the habit of not listening to your inner voice, crowding it out with other things, it is very hard to get out of that closed-minded routine. You know, sometimes I talk about people who are locked in. They've locked themselves into their mental world and they're unreachable, you know, and that is a beautiful illustration of how you saw something that fascinated you and, you know, your heart was just crying out to go, just wanted to go. And that's part of, you know, how you explained that you're in that position in your life where you're looking for new things, looking for what piques your interest. And, you know, the universe doesn't reveal to us the plan incomplete. You know, it doesn't, you know, it isn't like one day you go on the search and then all of a sudden the universe is like, well, you should be, you know, a French chef and, you know, you're just suddenly there. You got to live it. You got to go through the experience. You got to walk the path that leads you to your dream. And there's no other way around it. And early on, you might get glimpses of your own destiny, but those are to hearten us on our journey and to reassure us that we're on the right track. So definitely you open up and leave space to hear your inner voice and then follow through on it. Make it a habit instead of closing it out to act, to lead, you know, to do it. If your heart calls out to you, you do it, and then you'll see. Your heart chakra literally opens up. The center of your chest will feel like it's gaping wide, like it's just expanding to the universe. That's what I feel like when I'm singing songs. I feel my heart just open wide, and I just feel the source pumping through me and sending those love vibrations out to the universe.
Glorious.
All right. And as I mentioned earlier, Amy's going to play some Beethoven for us, and I've talked about Beethoven on the show many times. He's an early hero of mine. And give me just a moment to rearrange the mic, and you're going to hear Führer Elise by Beethoven coming up in just a moment.
Thank you.
Well, I have to say, Chris coached me on that, so.
Yeah, it was fun. We spent some time this afternoon.
Had a nice chat about
Beethoven.
Yeah. Chris has a, you channeled, you have a channeling of Beethoven, don't you, in one of your articles?
Oh, yeah, there was one, it's actually in Pearly Gates Press Volume 2, but you can see it on the archive off of the Creative Cosmos site. Nice little work of art that went with that one that I really like too.
Yeah, so I had a nice lesson today from Chris and Beethoven and how to bring his spirit through the music. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing Beethoven was part of the nuance called Sturm und Drang, storm and stress, you know, which is great emotional intensity and depth, you know, it's just Beethoven has to be deep and always has a profundity in my mind. As I've said many times on the show, I believe that, you know, Beethoven has contributed a lot to humanity and just evoking those grandiose energies. So here we are, bbsradio.com, Creative Cosmos Radio Show. We're 2 hours straight live tonight, and as you have been enjoying, our music is live, and we have PGA Golf Pro, Pete Van Vliet, on tonight. We're talking on the Dow of Golf and New Horizons that we're all experiencing now, too. And we're sharing our experiences and hopefully being illustrative of how the transformation is, you know, some call the ascension, or as we're referring to it, as the transcendence, and any number of ways that you look at, you know, the awakening of the spiritual energies in the world right now, and how so many people are finding out about you know, the true beauty and depth and mystery and wonder of the Eastern Way. And, you know, I want to make sure we also remember the beauty and value of Western art culture as well, because, you know, we were talking about some of the school kids earlier, and you know, I often ask kids what they know, and they don't know either Western art culture or the Eastern wisdom to the tradition. So we got a lot of work to do, and that's what we're here for, to cover that which has not been covered, which contributes, you know, in the education of humanity. So here we all are tonight. Myself, Christopher Morris, your weekly host of the Creative Cosmos, and we got Pete here, and Amy's joining us as well. So welcome back to the show, everybody.
Hey.
So I've got a question for Pete.
Good.
You know, I've known you for a while now, and, you know, I remember hearing first about you wanting to go into the PGA, and I thought that was so cool, and really want to support you with that, and I'm so excited for you now that you made it and that you're qualified, and I'm just wondering, you know, what's next for you?
Well, I'm probably going to stick around Minnesota for the summer and continue to work on my game, and possibly go to Colorado, maybe. There's a golf course out there that I worked at a couple years ago that I was debating whether to go back to or not. It's kind of, excuse me, still up in the air. I really, but definitely in the winter time, come November, I want to be in a warmer climate somewhere.
Yeah.
Out west, down south. With this event that happened yesterday, I should be able to basically get in, hopefully, wherever I would like, and, you know, just put out applications, and golf courses are going up daily.
Yeah, the golf industry seems to be still booming.
Yeah.
People love the game.
It's great. Now, you know, they're really starting to work with nature now when they're building these courses. They're they're keeping nature in mind, which I really like to see.
Oh, that's good.
Because it is one of my pet peeves with the golf industry, is, you know, with, you know, it is a beautiful part of nature, but they need to work with it and do their best to take care of the land around them, and I think they are, and that's one of the things too I hope to spread in the future, is just the knowledge of, you know, kindness to the environment as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good, and that also, you know, enhances the game too. You know, it's you're interacting with nature directly out there.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Using it as, you know, as a team, the two of us.
Connecting to the earth, the vibrations, you know.
Exactly.
You know, we talked about just when you're putting, you know, just imagine that, just rolling that little ball across the surface of the earth.
Yeah.
It's fun.
The grid.
Yeah. Like we see on Tiger Woods video game. I can putt pretty good on there sometimes. So, yeah, you know, I want to go back to this idea of overcoming limitations or inhibitions, and just how simple repetition is, in, or, you know, you could call it practicing, or, you know, repeating over and over again, like, say, your swing, or, you know, something along those lines. That alone isn't going to bring people to the next level. I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but why don't you illustrate again? You know, maybe some people just tuned in, or I know this is a slightly different way to put it, but what do you think it is that that will get somebody up to the next level, like where, you know, you could be stuck in a rut, you know, he swings the same over and over again, and what is it that, I know your own game has recently, you know, really spiked, and it just seems to be heading more and more in that direction, and you know, what do you think it was that really awakened your game to that whole other level?
Well, when I always think back, I always just think about being just patient and always believing that things will happen. And doing my best just to not force an issue to make it happen, to just rather, you know, as Chris has said earlier, listen to your inner voice, follow. Not only that, my golf game, but just follow that in everything as much as you can daily, you know, just driving your car or walking around the park, just follow your heart. And I believe that's what I've done, and I think that's what anybody can do, is if they find their, especially, you know, their talent. And many of us have many talents, but just to just work at them the best you can, and just believe that you're doing the best you can, and when something goes wrong, just say, how unlike me, and just learn from mistakes, and just persevere and not be hard on yourself.
Yeah, you learn, you just take note of your mistakes, and you know that's just part of how it's done, but yeah, like you said, don't be hard on yourself, don't judge yourself, or work against yourself in the attainment of your own goals.
Yeah, you can use it, when you look back at it, you can just say, well, that's a positive, because I just learned something there. In everything with life, any problems, or, you know, you're constantly learning. And with golf, you know, I feel now where I'm mature and grown up that you can look back and say, wow, I can really learn from that. And I feel a lot of us don't take that time to say, you know, just look back on a certain situation and say, wow, I can really learn from that, because that's what I was meant to do. To learn on my next process of going into life.
Yeah, I think reflection is really important there. Yeah, reflection, I mean, it's really important. I've had students make mistakes, or, you know, with singing, it's singing is so personal, and a student, if they crack a note or sing a wrong note, they take it so personally, and that's one thing I try to teach them is to
I know what you're saying. I was thinking that too, you know, when I was listening to Pete talk, he's demonstrating just how grounded he is. He's not all caught up in it. You know, he plays the game, and he's not feeling like his identity has to do with the game. You know, what you're saying with the kids, you know, how they get down on themselves, you know, they think for some reason that if they make a mistake that they're bad, or that some part of their psychological makeup is mistakenly tied in with whether they achieve something in the short term.
And you have to just realize it's part of the process. I mean, one of the things I'll say to them is, you know, well, what if you never made any mistakes, you know, and that's not a great thing, and, you know, We have all this practice time. You never make a single mistake. We get to the performance, and when you're in a performance situation, your energy changes. You have more adrenaline. You know, there's people listening. Suddenly, everything is different. Now, you've never made a mistake before. Suddenly, everything's different. You haven't had a chance to work it out. You know, I think mistakes are good and an important part of the process. You got to work it out.
Yeah, definitely.
On top of reflecting, too, I now that I was listening to Amy talk, I think a lot, too. I always would look not only into the past, but look to the future and see the future, too, as far as, you know, being with golf and, you know, believing and just constantly seeing a picture in the future.
Yeah, so you're creating your own destiny.
I was thinking, too, a lot when Amy was talking about that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? I've been watching that a couple times.
Yeah.
We really are the creator of our own realities of where we're going and what we're doing. And
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one of the big central themes we're talking about on all the shows on BBS, just empowering yourself. You know, don't just bounce around on the whims of life and feel like you have no control over it. You know, that... there's a whole other set of rules of existence, you know, one where life is friendly towards you and life knows about you and how inside yourself you have a plan already built in, you know. Even as the seed contains the tree, so too your DNA contains your inevitable manifestation if you allow it to come through as it is meant to. I mean, really, that's the question. You know, many people are short-circuiting that process, you know, be it with...
not listening to their inner voice.
Yeah. Yeah, or just like, you know, they don't feel good enough about themselves that their inner voice has value as well. You know, they might hear it, but they think that's not for me, or they think it's far enough removed from them that they don't have any personal connection. They don't really, like you said, you've had a nice belief all along that, you know, that you must have felt just part of the universe that if you hung with what you felt was right, that it would work out. Mm-hmm. Just part of your makeup or how you looked at things. And that's really it. You know, if you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe this, maybe that, I don't know about this, or I don't feel like this, you know, usually we get exactly what we create. You know, we get what we deserve in a way, and until you feel worthy enough to, you know, bring forth what you truly want in your world. I mean, there truly is no obstacle at all. All the obstacles are invisible or, you know, just habit or... You know, right at this moment, you know, probably even those of you who aren't really thinking about this much right now, everybody knows deep down inside. You know, I talk about that sometimes too, you know. Everybody knows whether they're happy or not, or whether they're doing something which is fulfilling. You know, we build up all kinds of layers of, you know, maybe denial or distraction, but deep down inside, everybody knows. And you got to see that life is precious, and this opportunity is to be used to realize that part of yourself. You know, it's quite a magnificent feat to make it all the way onto the surface of a planet, get yourself a new body, become self-aware, and walk around and just check it out as your soul self. Oh, that's a lot of fun. So it's worth it, you know. There's some work involved, and there's some things to deal with, and you know that's all true. But it all there's a reason for it, and there is an end to suffering once you resolve that inside yourself, which remains to have light shined upon it.
Exactly.
All right, so good time here for another tune. I got a couple more tunes for you. Just thinking about playing live tonight, I got excited and was just trying out a bunch of tunes and picking some ones that I know people have enjoyed in the past.
I gotta say, I'm really enjoying this live music.
Yeah.
get the front row seat.
Yeah. Cool. Alrighty. I'm going to play a little tune here called Life is Like a Wheel. Maybe you want to help me with that one a little bit. Just put it back over here where it was. Give a little ambiance in the background of the mic. We got a little studio of our own here at Creative Cosmos headquarters in Minneapolis, Minnesota. At least for another couple weeks until we then join up in paradise. Oh, life is like a wheel. Keep rolling. Life is like a wheel. Keep rolling. Life is like a wheel. Keep rolling. Ride on down the hill. Life is like a wheel. Keep rolling. and you're listening to Christopher Moores, host of Creative Cosmos Radio Show. And the name of the show tonight is called The Tao of Golf and New Horizons. And we're with Mr. Golf himself these days, Pete Van Vliet. We've been chatting about his game and how he's improved his game through meditation and opening up to the new energies. And, you know, I believe that every job out there is going to take on there's going to be a transcendent equivalent, you know, that the old jobs and the old limitations just aren't going to stick because they are snapshots of humanity at an earlier time. And yes, some of them may stick around for a while, but we will get past them and careers will expand, and we, as we expand, and you know, as meditators, we're kind of ambassadors of meditation to the world. And as Pete was saying earlier, just in his golf game and in the way he goes about it, he's sharing what he's learned, and that's what you know, we talked about on the shows, and I've talked about this with a good friend, the Cosmic Poet, too, how that's poetry, how doing what you're meant to do, you know, when Pete's playing golf, or, you know, I'm singing, or you know, Amy's checking out the science show. We're all doing what we enjoy. So, cool. And I'd like to congratulate Pete on behalf of the universe for realizing that by himself and making it happen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It's always a good time. And, you know, I noticed myself, too, just as I was playing the tune, you know, there's three of us in the room tonight, but there's also many people on the astral plane that have joined us for the show. They've come in for the concert. You can feel them all around, filling in the rest of the room, and like to greet those astral entities in attendance and welcome them and welcome to everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Can feel them as well.
Yeah, I noticed just when I was playing the tune, I suddenly saw like a whole other level of energy, and I was like, holy cow, crowded room all of a sudden. But that's how it is sometimes with spirit and the astral entities. You know, I say that too, like, you know, go to an airport sometime. You know, there's just as many, you could say, dead people there as there are live people at some of these vortex centers. There's, for every person, there's a spirit there as well. And you can feel them, you know, and sometimes they'll even be waiting to greet someone who gets off the plane, and they may hang around them. You know, they may make themselves known, but sometimes when we are in those traveling or transition places, we can notice. But I also noticed, too, one time seeing the Minnesota Orchestra, I suddenly noticed up in the air over the orchestra just many spirits kind of doing like loops, these little circles up over the orchestra, and they were kind of basking in the vibrations that the orchestra was sending up, or, you know, swimming through those vibrations and truly enjoying the symphonic performance as well. So you can know, people out there, you are not alone. Probably even now, wherever you are, there's spirit hanging around you. You know, it could be your guys, could be someone who loved you in the past, or could just be someone who enjoys your house.
I ask for guidance quite a bit from my spirit guides, for sure.
Yeah. Have you felt like they have answered your call when you've done that?
I do. I feel definitely a bigger connection, like me acknowledging them being there, you know, well, give them notice that I notice them. So, you know, and then it's like a comfort zone you enter, and you feel like you're with your friends.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, because you just simply put there one real key thing about spirit guides and angels and astral entities that want to help you. You have to acknowledge them and ask them to come in your life and participate in your life for them to really do the full amount of benefit for which they could for you.
For sure.
You know, and that's probably part of what you feel like when you're saying you get into that nice, comfortable groove. It's like, you know, you don't have to necessarily feel like you're asking them, so to speak, as you just feel them around you, and you know they know what's going on, and you've generally put out there that you want their help, and so then they can help you in whatever ways come up.
Yeah, I generally, I wouldn't say, like on the golf course, I'll ask for guidance from a spirit guide. Generally, when I talk to them is in the morning, before the day starts, just ask them to push me forward in the direction that I have destined in front of me with the most possible, you know, the best possible scenario I can imagine, just to guide me through the day and
yeah,
bring love into my life.
Yeah, that's great. And you say you definitely have felt that since you've done that, you felt the influx of energies as tangibly different?
For sure. You can definitely feel their presence. And like you said, the more you talk to them, the more they are there and the more they come to join them with them. Grandparents, I feel, and I just definitely feel a connection between guidance and the direction I'm going. It's just there's a connection of when I ask them to help me along the way, I can feel a smoother path.
Huh. Yeah, that's really good. That's a good way, good thing to know, and good affirmation to know that they're helping out, you know, and it makes sense, you know. I like to talk about it a lot. Like you say, you feel your grandparents around you. I too have felt many times either one of my grandfathers come around me, and sometimes just for support, or you know, sometimes with a message, you know, maybe not that profound of a message, just to know that they're aware of something that's going on, and it's not a realm so far away, or it's not that distant, and it just makes sense that life goes on, and love goes on, and our bonds of friendship go on. So yeah, we encourage, you know, all night long we've been talking about living the dream and finding a way to, you know, value yourself and your own inclinations enough to follow those through and make them happen, and notice the difference between something that is externally imposed upon you or an idea that you've carried with you from the past, and begin to notice that which comes from your heart, and take care not to short circuit the natural process with any doubts or fears. You know, see, that's part of the danger of, you know, watching too much TV or making the propaganda of governments too big of a part in your life, or, you know, really rigidly believing any ideology. You know, because as soon as you do that, you cut off huge areas of existence, huge areas of yourself. You know, there's no area of humanity off limits to explore and to learn about. And when we recognize that these are just various phenomena, that good, bad, whatever you want to say, they're life and there is something to learn from everything. I believe you were saying that earlier too, Pete, that you, one really good thing that you did is you look back on things and you try to glean the lessons that they had for you. Would you like to say a little bit more about that? I found that really interesting.
Yeah, I like to definitely not focus on making it a negative part of the event that happened, how it unfolded, is to just take the best of it and say, okay, well, how unlike me and how can I learn from that? And it was there, put in front of me for a reason, so that the next time you can just work on it and feel it when you get into that moment. It's more or less anything is like I was saying earlier, when you look back the day later, you can see when you go in and out of the zone. And when you're more likely to see that, you can control that then in the future, when you can get yourself into the zone, and when you'll quickly recognize when you've kind of fallen out of the zone and fallen back into the pattern of looking more ahead rather than just taking it one shot at a time, like they say in golf, the old adage. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard two good words in there. affirmation and awareness is kind of the two words that jumped out at me from that. Is, you know, when you're reflecting, not just looking at the things that went wrong, but also affirming those moments, you know, that you were with it, that you were aware, and just you know, affirming that makes it more likely to happen again.
For sure.
Yeah.
And where you'll learn from it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And be better.
Yeah. We do at school after every concert, I do a sort of a debriefing where we kind of, you know, talk through what went well, what, you know, what should we work on, and you know, but really making a point of affirming the positive things and really working on building on those things. You know, those are building blocks. Those are tools
yeah.
that we can use.
Nourishing.
Nourishing, yes.
Yeah. All right. Great. We're going to take another song break here. I'd like to tell you a little bit about it. This song of mine is called The Process, and it was a result of a meditation I had and a realization that came upon me one day while meditating. I remember sitting in a chair, kicking back, quieting my mind, you know, just letting thoughts rise and fall and fade away. And every once in a while, you'll start seeing visions. If you get enough space, you'll just suddenly see things. You'll learn, like in my articles, Solar System Secrets, or Secrets of the Galaxy, or some of those things that I've written, they come from these times when I am in meditation, in an open state, and a vision comes before me. I start to see things and find out things about the universe, about the solar system, from the solar system itself. And this is something everybody could do, but again, it's a matter of whether you believe it's to be possible and whether you have developed an open and clear enough channel to tune into that high level of frequency, or to notice those messages as they arise within you. You know, if you have not yet gotten to the point of where you recognize your own inner voice, you're certainly not going to be able to recognize anybody else's voices either. So once you become familiar with your own voice and you create even more space, then you can start differentiating input from all kinds of frequencies, and you'll be surprised as you trace it back to entities of various sorts. But this, I believe, was a vision given to me. Just had to do with the solar system and the rise and fall of creation and just how things work around here. And I'm going to lay out a nice version for you here in just a moment. Take a glass of water. And what better? Called The Process. The wind is the earth's breath. Water is its blood. The land is its body. And life is its flow. The wind and the water and the land drinking rain. It's all gonna die, so the process can't start over. Remind all the people.
I was talking about this with someone earlier today on the phone.
You know, I talk all day on the phone, too. I'm just such a yakker. I never run out of words. I talk all day on the phone. I run and teach a bunch of kids. I head out and do the radio shows. And, man, I'm just talking nonstop. And when I get up, when I lay down, and, you know, Don and I were chatting the other night, and he was saying how he thinks where BBS radio is kind of like the throat chakra of the United States or the North American continent or something like that, so probably that's why I'm heading out there. Because in my own process of self-discovering and living my own dreams, I did many of these same things that we've been talking about. I watched myself, you know, I watched what my energies wanted to do, and after I started meditating, becoming self-aware, I noticed my speaking take on a whole another quality. And it happened really early. I started getting these streams, and I just watched myself speak these incredible phrases, and I'd be so excited, and I knew they were special, and I knew they had meaning. And after a while, I started recording myself more often and creating a lot more. And, you know, even when you're creating an art, you know, you're drawing or writing, or, you know, these are all expressions of the throat chakra as well. And, you know, throughout time, I believe even when I was young, my third eye was still open. And you know, really, I was also speaking to a mother of one of my students who's become a friend of mine. And I mentioned to her that her son has his third eye open. You know, which can create a challenge for a student who is sensitive and aware in a really restrictive environment at school. You know, he's one of the student is one of the smartest and the kindest-hearted kids I've ever come across. And, you know, in my evaluation as an educator, I wouldn't change a thing about him, and I believe him to be capable of anything, you know, but sometimes he runs into trouble because our education system doesn't accommodate the special or talented kids, or they don't recognize those qualities of spirit. It hasn't been incorporated. It's as if we're taught that we're, you know, just simply a bunch of words or a bunch of facts, or like the whole human quality seems to be stripped from our education system, and it's what we so desperately need. And to some extent, music is almost like a last bastion of that kind of thinking in the public schools. And, you know, as, you know, I don't know, maybe some of you have music educators in your family, or you have them as friends, or you have students in band programs, or all around the country, you know that music is always in danger of getting cut, you know, because it's viewed as expendable because the human equation isn't given its proper value. You know, and I say that sometimes, you know, sometimes music educators, you know, there's kind of a more accommodating strain of, you know, quote educators that try to play by the book or whatever, and, you know, they try to come up with this crazy rationale that, well, you know, we've got like 50 kids in the classroom and this other kid, people have 30, so as teachers, we have more value. But what they're really doing is undermining what should be the real argument, that it has value, that the subject has value, like a value that is not found anywhere else. You know, not only should we not be cutting music from our schools, we should be adding it and adding art and adding, you know.
Happiness 101.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know, as if the good qualities of humanity aren't worth time. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
That we need to bring these to the forefront, and, you know, we do have to learn how to be happy, really, you know, because we've forgotten. We've become so unnatural and twisted in our thinking as a society that it takes a lot of untangling. And why would we want to inflict this on our youth and on our future generations? You know, we need to stop the cycle, and then, you know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, affirm the good and bring out the good, and then go with that and move it forward and bring these ideas to life in our everyday world, in our every moment, in our every circumstance. And then we'll be creating
the circumstance of where we will be able to live our dream and find our own fulfillment. And I'd like to, it's a good place, we're going to round off the show. We're going to say goodbye to Pete Van Vliet and thank him for coming by the Creative Cosmos this evening. It's been great having you.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I always love to hear your perspective and your wisdom and your outlook on life, and I wish you all the best with the golf career and hope to see your name at the top of some scoreboards here in a couple of years. That'll be great. So look for that, everyone. Van Vliet on the PGA golf scoreboard. Mine's 20. No. All right. Well, best of luck to you from the Creative Cosmos. And
thank you. Best of luck to you, too, in your ventures to California.
Yeah, thank you.
I know I'll be seeing you again before, but just to say it over the air.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a pleasure being here with these folks. I really feel super privileged just being in the presence of Chris and Amy. You know, any time I'm over here, it's amazing. It's amongst family, and we're just so pleased to have friends like these that support you and are behind you 100% and totally focused on positive outcomes of life at all times and following their hearts.
All right, man. Thank you. And we'll say goodnight to Amy, too, on air here. And
yeah, thanks. I'm glad I could be on.
Yeah, and now we're going to close the show with Amy's rendition. So, Amy's rendition of Moonlight Sonata. So, give us just a moment to rearrange the mics, and everybody enjoy one more by the great Beethoven and the great Amy Buck.
Well, we were talking earlier about, you know, feeling spirits in the room, and I would just like to dedicate this to my grandmother Butts and Grandma B. I always really enjoyed hearing me play, and I remember when I was young and just learning to play piano, I remember when I learned to play this particular song, this was her favorite, and she loved to hear it a lot. So, Grandma, I can definitely feel you here, and this one's for you. Thank you. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.